Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is July 1st, 2017, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday of this upcoming week is 4th of July. And as you all know, and if you don't know, I'm a very patriotic person, love this country, love the flag and the Constitution, what it represents. So, what we're about to play for you, if it does not put a lump in your throat, you might as well just pack your bags and leave now. So, Trey, let's play this right now for the people. This was my commander-in-chief when I was in the military. And we're
trying to... As to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high. But we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his jarber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading, My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, if I will rise, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Ladies and gentlemen, wow, incredible. So, upcoming 4th of July, everybody enjoy your freedoms that you have from all those who have worn the uniform and put their time and service in, and in a lot of cases, gave the ultimate sacrifice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I start my day every morning with a fresh cup of Joe. I go to Hilltop, Sefco, and Cameron, get to the ladies there, and they say, there it is over there, Matt. It's freshly brewed. Go get it. So go get your freshly brewed coffee at Hilltop, Sefco, and Cameron. Get your pack of smokes, newspaper bag, chips, whatever it is. Go there, tell them I sent you. Tell them say hi. Now, remember, all these sponsors here on this program enable me to stay on the air. So show them your support by going there and taking care of our sponsors. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very busy show today. I'm going to go very quickly into our NRA segment just to ensure that we have time because we're on a tight schedule. And as always, I read true stories of self-defense and give my expert commentary on it. And this week is going to be no different. So we're going to start off again with some NRA stories from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And this is going to be taken from July 2017, the most current issue. And story number one goes as this. Justifiable self-defense. That's how Oklahoma officials have described a triple shooting by a 22-year-old who used an AR-15-style rifle to kill three intruders who broke into his home. The young man was asleep when three strangers, all clad in black, broke into the house. After being awakened by the noises made during the break-in, the resident grabbed his semi-automatic rifle. Seeing the intruders, whose faces were covered with masks, the armed citizen fired, killing two of the suspects on the spot. The third ran away but died in the driveway. After the young man shot the home invaders, he barricaded himself in the room and called 911. When police arrived, they discovered that one of the troublemakers was armed with a knife, while the second had a pair of brass knuckles. A week-long investigation led officials to determine that the shooter apparently was in fear for his life when he shot. No, you think? Thus, he was protected under Oklahoma stand your ground law. A woman has since been arrested and charged in connection with the planning the burglary. Now, here's my expert commentary. All right, let's go over the numbers on this one here. Number one, when the homeowner realizes a break-in, the first thing he does is grab his weapon. Excellent for two reasons. A, he immediately is responding, and B, he had his weapon pre-placed, prepared to defend himself in case such as this one arose. Number two, when the homeowner verified the threats, he dispatched each one with excellent accuracy. And three, the only thing I question on this one is his barricading himself in the room to call 911. By doing that, in my opinion, he put himself back into a vulnerable position by not knowing his surroundings. He had control of his environment, then gave it away by going back to his room. Now, I'm sure there's plenty of room for discussion on this one, but that's my personal opinion on that one. Now, story number two from the July issue of the American Rifleman. Sometimes a bad guy who doesn't heed a warning pays the price. That was the case in Pittsburgh when a man who was armed with a crowbar broke into a home. The resident confronted the intruder, told him to lie face down on the ground, and said that the police were on their way. Rather than complying, the interloper raised the crowbar and charged the armed citizen who, after a brief scuffle, fired his gun and shot the assailant in the leg. My commentary. The homeowner did a great job in this story, except for one point. As soon as the threat did not comply and then raised his weapon, the homeowner got in a scuffle before shooting. If I give you a command and you do not comply when there is a weapon definitely noticeable and you're going to use it on me, there will be no time for a scuffle. You will be on the floor bleeding out. If you want to give an intruder one chance to comply, that's up to you. I might do the same. But after that, all bets are off. Story number three. More than cigarettes can kill you, as one attempted robber found out. A convenience store clerk stepped out of her shop at 3:50 a.m. one morning in St. Louis to take a smoke break. As she was standing behind the building, an armed man approached and attempted to rob her. The worker, who carried a defense for defensive purposes, especially if she worked the overnight shift, pulled a gun and fired three shots, killing the stranger who had accosted her. The employee was shot twice in the leg during the confrontation, and she was taken to the hospital where she is treated at this time. And my commentary to that. What I want to address on this story is the way too many businesses that restrict their employees from being able to carry. I really have a disdain for those people. Although I know they have the right to restrict having firearms, I also have the right to call those people out. Sometimes, due to economics, you are forced to work under those conditions. But going to a business that I don't work at and restricts my right to carry, I boycott as much as I can. Licensed to carry people are upstanding people in the community. Most are, anyways. A few scumbags sneak in. But let me tell you what a license to carry is. And I'm going to read it to you from a business card that Open Carry Texas puts out to those types of locations. And I'm holding in my hand right here a business card, and it reads, your 30-06, 30-07 sign, which is a restrictive sign for a license to carry person, prevents me from patronizing your business. And it says, look on the back to see why you may want to remove your sign. No guns equals no money. As a license to carry holder, I have no felony convictions, have no drug-related convictions, have no mental defects, disabilities, have no Class B misdemeanor or higher convictions in at least the last 5 years, and have passed a NICS criminal background check. How much do you know about your other customers? So if you see a sign, LTC, boycott them. Go to the guy who doesn't, or the gal who owns a store who doesn't. So with that, what we're going to do in just a minute, how much time I got, Trey?
30 seconds. yesterday.
In 30 seconds? Well, with that, I'm going to say, listen, don't forget, 4th of July, if you're going to be cooking your burgers or your hot dogs or whatever you're going to be doing, remember the 4th of July. Or remember, too, if you're firing fireworks, watch the wind, watch the dry grass, make sure everything's good, get your shovels ready, your fire extinguishers, but have a good time. And remember, this country is awesome, and we can make it even greater than it already is. So let's go ahead to a break, Trey. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event remember for a long time. Now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunShop.com.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's July 1st, 2017. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we premiered on KRXT 98.5 FM today at 8 o'clock. That's the Rockdale station, and I already got calls from that, positive feedback, so that's awesome. So anybody who wants to become a sponsor of the program, please make a contact with us here. You can be part of the show. You can keep us on the air, because it's people like you out there that keep us on the air. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go real quick over show highlights before we get to our attorney extraordinaire, Benton Ross Watson, in our LTC attorney segment. We've got a topic of interest. I'm going to be going over all the upcoming events with Aaron's Gun Shop, Aaron's High Cap Adventures, and the radio program. Then at 11, we've got the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon. As always, the connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and all-around good guy. Retired police chief Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight will be done by my excellent weapons instructor, Zoltan Varga. We call him Zoli. He will be talking about one of his favorite rifles, the Ruger Precision Rifle in .308. So check out his picture on Aaron's Gun Shop's Facebook page. And while you're there, please like us. All the numbers help out a lot. Zoli got his rifle from our great sponsor, ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. So if you want one, call them now at 254-983-4417 and tell them you want what Zoli's got, the Ruger Precision Rifle in .308. And if they don't have one or any left, tell them, order me one. Just ask them. Now, my special guest today is very special to me indeed. It's my son, Dylan Beatros. He will be discussing his education, acting, and plans on traveling abroad to further his language skills in French. That's right, he's going to France and all over Europe, possibly. He's going to tell us about his excitement and his concerns traveling and how Mark Boyer, our guest from last week, had planned his trip to the finest detail, and he can do that for you as well. So you see how all these shows interconnect? We build up, get at you at different angles, and it all works out great. Now, before we get our awesome attorney on here, I had a listener call me from last week's show who did not quite hear one of the acronyms we used. It was the acronym LISTEN. So listen right now, and I'm going to say it real quick as to what it is, and you can take some notes. But the acronym from last week's show, LISTEN, L stands for look at the person, I, show an interest, S, summarize what was said and repeat it back, T, territory, keep a comfortable space, E, empathize, try to see it from their perspective, N, nod, to show that you're trying to understand, and S, smile. So there you go, acronym LISTEN, and that's what it stands for. Ross, welcome to the show, buddy.
Good to be back.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I've been telling you, your fan club is just growing by leaps and bounds. Man, my computer is getting heavier and heavier with all the likes and all the fan mail and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they're bringing mail in from the post office in truckloads.
Man, get out of here.
It's awesome. Hey, we were talking about, or we're going to talk today about, Penal Code Section 4613, making a firearm accessible to a child. And so why don't we just go over this? I'm going to make a couple quick notes, and then I want you to just hit it with your awesome expertise, okay?
I was kind of wondering, though, why you are asking me about this. I feel like this is kind of falling into your expertise and products that you have and know about that would help people to secure their firearms.
You're absolutely right. I do fall in that category on the back side, or actually the front side of it, but let's say the front side of it fails and the child does get access to it.
I would like to know, probably like some listeners, what kind of things are there that can they use? Because I think that's relevant. That's going to come in front of a jury. Go ahead and read
it. Okay, let's read it so everybody knows what we're talking about, and then we'll debate back and forth on it. Penal Code 4613, making a firearm accessible to a child. A person commits an offense if a child gains access to a readily dischargeable firearm and the person with criminal negligence, one, failed to secure the firearm, or two, left the firearm in a place to which he knew or should have known that the child would gain access. An offense under this section is a Class A misdemeanor if the child discharges the firearm and causes death or serious bodily injury to himself or another person. Now, let me give you a scenario. Grandpa has a gun, a handgun, we'll say, and he put it on top of his dresser. And little Crumb Cruncher, grandchild or whatever, goes over there and picks up the gun.
That's great.
technically, if we just instantaneously brought him to a court of law, he's charged with a Class C misdemeanor, which goes to the grandpa because grandpa owns the gun, allowed the child to have access to its Class C misdemeanor. But now, for some reason, the child puts his finger on the trigger. Gee, I don't know why he'd do that, right? As curious as a child is. And he shoots his foot or he shoots somebody else. The owner of the gun, grandpa, automatically starts off with a Class A misdemeanor. So what you were saying was, what should we do to prevent that?
Right.
And what I'm asking you is, what happens when that happens? And then there's some other aspects we want
to
get into.
So there's more to the definition. It's got to be a readily dischargeable firearm. And that means that it has to have be loaded with ammunition. It doesn't have to have one in the chamber.
That's right.
But there has to be ammunition involved. There has to be ammunition in the gun itself. The other thing is secure. What does it mean to secure the firearm? Well, they basically have left this open. As much as we've talked about how much discretion and power prosecutors have and how much power and influence the grand juries have and how much power and influence a jury itself has, and then the lawyers and judges in the system altogether, and the legislature has basically left it where the chips may fall within that scheme, because they say secure means to take steps that a reasonable person would take to prevent
that word
the access.
Again, reasonable, yeah.
Whatever a reasonable person would do to prevent access to a readily dischargeable firearm by a child, including but not limited to placing a firearm in a locked container or temporarily rendering the firearm inoperable by a trigger lock or other means. So as you pointed out, that when you see those reasonable person standards, the legislature is saying, hey, we're going to let you roll the dice, but it's going to be on your head. Okay, and so they're gonna let the jury decide whether or not it's reasonable or not what you did, but you're also in a situation where you're going to let the police officers at the beginning decide whether they think what you did was reasonable or not. Okay, and if they think what you didn't do is reasonable, and a lot of times they have a lot of pressure, a lot of times there's going to be public pressure on the prosecutor, this is, again, going and letting them maybe present it in a way to the grand jury not to be no-billed. I tried to find there was an email exchange between me and a friend of mine, and he had found a bunch of good websites about cases where this kind of thing had happened, like a child had found a firearm and shot one of their siblings, and it gave really good statistics, and I never got to follow back up on those statistics. I really wanted to do that. I'm sorry I didn't have a website now, but I thought it was very interesting. It said that in about half of the cases, about half of the time when it's clear that the firearm wasn't secure, like it would have been a clear from a prosecutorial standpoint, meaning there was probable cause to believe that they failed to secure in a reasonable manner. 50% of the jurisdictions still, 50% or even a little, like say about 40% prosecuted, whereas the other 50 or 60 didn't. And so it was shocking. Most you don't see that kind of.
They got emotional.
Right. There's a lot of emotion in play, and they feel like the parents or whoever have been through enough. And on that note, I want to mention one more thing before we get into all this, that it's kind of odd because this statute is a little different than most other ones because it actually has a 7-day grace period.
Explain that.
It doesn't. I really don't know what it means. I probably should have done some legislative history. Maybe I didn't think it was that important, and I thought it was pretty obvious that it says that when a family member is the one who shot himself or shot someone else, and the person that died was a family member, okay, and the person to be arrested is the family member of the child who
does it. Basically, go everybody shot. Goes, look, man, look what he's going through. Cut him some slack.
Give him a week.
Give him a week. Let him recover, and then we're gonna screw him to the wall.
Yeah. Okay. And so I thought that was kind of odd. You don't find that in many other places in the code, and so I finally, and that was an obvious.
That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. You said something though in the beginning, which I know, but I've always had this one question, and it's not like I'm trying to split hairs. I'm just trying to split hairs because I'm one of those guys. I want it as black and white. I want to nail down the black and white law as much as possible because there's enough of it in black and white that gets blown away by the wind. Doesn't mean squat. A weapon, a handgun, for example, is loaded even if there's not a round in the chamber. The question is, does the magazine have to be in the gun? Is there studies on this? If the magazine is out of the gun and there's nothing in the chamber, is it still loaded?
And see, I was hoping to find a little bit of case law on this to see if a zealous, overzealous prosecutor has ever tried to maybe make an argument that, hey, maybe the magazine was left in a drawer with the gun and the kid put the magazine in there.
Because the person may have thought that by doing that, it was more of a secure way in case somebody did find it. They'd have to make multiple steps. I'm assuming that's what the thought process was.
Maybe, yeah. But I haven't found any case. There's no cases on this new rule. And so it was hard for me to see what could be, but I could see maybe possibly an argument sometime in the future that hey, you know, this statute says that the firearm has to be readily dischargeable, and by making the magazine able to put into the readily dischargeable, and the child had access to it, just because it was readily dischargeable after the child accessed both.
Well, either way, I say secure your firearm.
I would say that you're running a big risk. Yes. that's still going to fall into the coverage of this
law. I was trying to just see if there was a definite answer, and since there is not, for sure, you should need to secure your firearm to the best of
your ability. Yeah, no, you definitely need to, yes.
Because I know some people tell me, well, they put the gun down on the table for quick access, but they keep the magazine in their pocket, and the gun's unloaded, so they just have to pick up the gun instead of going to get the trigger locks off, taking it out of the safe or whatever, and they got the magazine with them. It's a quick access to the gun, but whatever.
Yeah, and again, that's where you're going to roll the dice, because at what point, at what distance, you know, if you put the magazine in the kitchen and the gun in the bedroom, is that going to be sufficient enough? Okay, and so, you know, I think maybe you're asking a jury to say it is or it isn't.
All right, now let me ask you this about...
But I want to point out, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I do want to point out, just because we have this statute, you're going to have what's called an in paria materia doctrine, which says upon the same subject, it's upon the same subject. And so it would be like if I got into a boating accident, and the prosecutor tried to charge me with some crime, like, you know, of what I did in my vehicle. I'd say no. There's a law specifically for negligent boating, okay? And you have to charge me with that because it's upon the same subject for the facts of the case.
Okay.
Okay, and so the reason I bring this up is that you have injury to a child. You have the injury to a child statute, and that's based on negligence. And so if you're being negligent in some kind of omission, failing to secure, okay, and somehow a kid gets shot, then I would say that it's possible under some facts that you could still be charged with injury to a child, even though you may not fall under this statute. But I say the in pari materia doctrine because we haven't had any cases, like I said, because this is a fairly new language in this law right here. And so I don't have any good answers. But I can say that under a lot of times when if you had a child that would access a firearm that was readily dischargeable and shoot somebody, and they try to bring a higher felony case under the injury to a child statute, right, or maybe even manslaughter or something to that effect, maybe a murder charge, okay, then your defense attorney is going to argue, no, under the facts of this case, this is specifically covered by the legislature, right, under 46.13, and that was making a firearm accessible to a child, and even talks about a child killing another kid. And that's only a Class A misdemeanor. You cannot charge me with the felony of manslaughter or some kind of, you know, murder conviction, some kind of homicide type. It wouldn't be murder, but it'd be some kind of other kind of homicide type of charge and or injury to a child statute.
Now, we're talking the factualities of how things work. It does not take away the need to secure your firearms. I just want to make that very clear, everybody. We're just going down the road, if it actually does happen, things that can be taken into play here.
But I'm also pointing out you could be charged for other things. You don't rely on the in paria materia doctrine.
Starters, you would get a Class A misdemeanor for starters.
And it could be worse than that, right? Okay. It could be worse than that.
So that's why it's so important to secure your weapons. Now, let me ask you this question. Well, first of all, I'm talking with Attorney Benton Ross Watts. Ross, tell everybody how to get a hold of you, what your specialties are.
I'm in general practice right here. My primary office is in Cameron, Texas. But again, I work all over the state. It's 105 East Main Street, Cameron, 76520. My number is 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. My email is benton@watson.legal. That's just my name, benton@watson.legal.
And he's got a passion, ladies and gentlemen. So if you got a problem, he's got a passion. So give him a call. I wanted to ask you about this. There's different types of safes. People get gun cabinet mixed up with gun safe. You familiar with what I'm talking about? The glass panel. Is that a legitimate way to secure your firearm in the eyes of the law as compared to it?
I don't know. You tell me. This is what I'm saying. You tell me what is reasonable in this situation.
Well, I don't know, and I'll tell you why I say I don't know. Because not everybody is financially able to buy a safe, but they want to do the best they can to secure their weapons. So they get a case that's got a lock on it and a glass door and assume that the child comes up to the door and it's locked, can't get access to it. But then all of a sudden, I was going to ask you this too. What if the child jimmies it with a screwdriver, breaks in? Doesn't that release the owner of the gun to some degree because they attempted to secure the weapon?
So it is an affirmative defense to prosecution under the access firearm made accessible to a child statute under four circumstances. One, if they're being supervised by someone over the age of 18, so a child is 17, right. 17 or under. So then if it's an adult that's supervising some kind of sporting activity, if they're engaged in an agricultural enterprise, if the child does what we've talked about on the show many times and is engaged in a self-defense scenario and ends up hurting maybe himself, right, it's not going to be the adult's fault if he was engaged in self-defense.
So if he breaks open that glass cabinet to get the shotgun and to stop the intruder, everything's good.
Everything's good, but here's the thing. There's the fourth one is consisted of a lawful defense, was gained by entering property in violation of this code. And so if a child gains access to a firearm, and I'll tell you, right, that seems straightforward, but I can tell you if prosecutors charge every one of these cases, and over time somebody would find this ambiguous.
After talking to you and Rick, nothing is straight anymore. I look at this law and I'm like, you know, it's black and white, but you're so good in explaining how things can be manipulated, who wants to show what, picking your jury, attitudes, opinions, what day it is, if it's raining, if it's hot, all these things to take effect. So this black and white that I'm reading has a lot of waves.
It's kind of like, what was a violation of the code? If you remember the Sciarrini case where he was in that apartment complex and they call because of drug use and the cops show up and he's got this intergalactica weapon on his sidearm, you know, and they say they arrested him and he ends up winning on, you know, what some people call, what the prosecutor in that case called a technicality, right, on appeal because he was like a 120th owner of the parking lot, and so therefore he was an owner. It wasn't in a public space. He was on his own property. And so I think you can have a problem here because you could say, well, the kid had routine access to the safe anyway, and so, you know, what is, so if a child steals a weapon and hurts himself, I think that you're good. But at some point, I think it could become ambiguous because at what point has the child, right, exceeded his authority in the house? You know, it probably depends on parents. It probably depends on what kind of household do you live in. Do you live in a military style house or do you live in a, you know, is you live with a bunch of gypsies? So, I mean, it kind of depends.
I didn't say it. I may think it, but I didn't say it. All right. You talked about securing. Let's talk about securing and hiding.
Well, I was going to tell you, so tell us. I'm sorry, keep getting me fired up on certain provisions here.
What are you questioning me on now?
So what's reason?
With the rules,
what is reason? I liked what you said about not being able to afford certain kinds of protections in the home. I think that that's probably relevant because
at some point
it comes unreasonable.
You have to have something to defend yourself. And if you're able to financially to get some type of gun, whether it's a $100 gun or a $1,000 gun, you master what you got and you got to secure what you have. So, which brings up the next problem. If you could barely afford a gun, maybe some people aren't as financially off to get a good Remington safe or whatever, Canon safe with all the bells and whistles. So what do they do to secure it? Maybe they get a trigger lock, which if that's the gun you're going to defend yourself with in the home invasion, and you got a trigger lock on it, forget about it. It ain't going to happen. You might as well get your cemetery plot ready because that trigger guard is not going to come off. Then they've got cables that go down the barrel. Then they've got these push-button boxes. They're okay, but, you know, when you're freaking out at night and somebody's there, you want to be able to grab your pistol and go. Then they've got other ones that have internal locks. And if you got this gun with an internal lock like a Taurus, let's use these key locks. Then I say, well, wear the key around your neck on a rope or something. So the gun's on the table, you have quick access to it, you put it in there. But I'm thinking, if you're freaking out, you try to put that key in that little tiny hole and you're going to have problems. So that's the challenge. If you've got multiple guns, secure them to the best of your ability and have the other one on your person or something so it's ready, but you got control over the gun. There's many different ways to secure your firearms. You have to figure out what's best for you, but the bottom line is this. You have to make sure that unauthorized persons don't have access to those guns. So what would be the definition in a court of law for securing your weapon? There's got to be something. Is that the reasonable person one?
It was what we just read. The taking what a reasonable steps that a reasonable person would take to prevent the access to a readily dischargeable firearm by a child, including but not limited to placing a firearm in a locked container or temporarily rendering the firearm inoperable by a trigger lock or other means.
Okay.
And so in a locked container, I think, but it says including but not limited to. So I do not think that, I think that they're just giving you those two examples as a way to kind of push a jury maybe in the way they'd like to see it go.
Well, here's the answer to the question.
But they're not limiting it to that.
Here's the answer to the question. You need to secure it in some way, shape, or form that a reasonable person will look at you and say, yeah, I see how you secured it, but yet it still gives you quick access to the firearm. You're going to have to figure that out.
What about in a closet? A closet on the top shelf in the parents' bedroom?
That's hidden. It's not secured. Anybody has access to it.
So what about in a closet in the upstairs bedroom, parents' bedroom, okay, on the top shelf, and the closet's locked?
That's different because the door is secured, and you made a clear attempt, in my reasonable opinion, and of course you know I'm reasonable. You got to go upstairs, got to go to the bedroom, got to go to the closet, and even if you jimmied the door, it's up on the top. You made an effort based on your financial means, I guess, to secure the firearm.
So we're in agreement, like putting firearms in between the mattresses is not reasonable.
No, that's not reasonable because anybody has access to it.
Well, what if your door's locked?
Well, that's different because you secured it and then somebody broke entry into your room. That would be my opinion.
Okay, what if, I know a lot of people that put their handguns on their nightstand next to their bed when they go to sleep. They'll pull it out, right? Mm-hmm. And for nighttime, and at nighttime they'll put it on their bedstand. Right next to their bed.
But they didn't leave it in a place. They left it next to them. So forget that one.
While they're unconscious.
Subconsciously, they're there. Okay.
Right, I'm telling you, this. The legislature left it up to the people,
okay,
I think, to decide it on a case-by-case basis.
I got 2 minutes with you left here. I don't know if you want to touch this or not, but I want to ask it anyway. You ready? I wanted to know, because we're having illegal access... I've had many questions come up to me about felons. Can they possess a gun? Can they be in the same room as a gun? Can they be a person who's not a felon who owns a gun? Also have black powder. I don't know anything about that, or I'm not 100% sure about that. Is there anything you can do to clarify? Because there are two reasons. One, there's felons out there who may not know. They probably know, but just forgot. And then there's people who may be around them and say, here, shoot the gun. And they say, I can't, man. I'm going to put this guy in jeopardy by giving him a firearm or ammunition. Go ahead.
So in 2 minutes, it's hard to get into every nook and cranny, but here's the gist. Federal law makes it a crime for a felon to possess a firearm. And the state of Texas makes it a crime for a felon to possess a firearm, you know, within 5 times convicted or released from community supervision. And so even though Texas allows a felon to possess a firearm, okay, after that time period, you're still going to run into problems with the federal statute that prevents felons from owning a firearm. So, but the federal law doesn't apply if you've been restored your rights. So there is a process in Texas where you can make an application for a pardon for restoration of rights, and that's going to include the right to vote and some other types of rights, but that would also include your right to own a firearm and carry a firearm. And so at that point, the federal law is not going to stop you if you were successful on that application process. And I haven't heard about the process being unfair. I think I started the process once or twice. I've never actually gone through the whole thing. There are companies that specialize in that kind of thing. I think they're at a cheaper rate. Mm-hmm. And so you can just Google one of those. But as to the firearm, you bring up a good point with the black powder.
Anti-Capping Venture Radio Program. Again, it's July 1st, 2017. The number here, if you want to become part of the show, is 254-697-6633. I have with me still attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. We're going to follow up on a last point. Ross, what were we saying about...
Yeah, you guys are trying to run me out of here, and then we had a couple more questions come up, and y'all decided to keep me around. So we want to make clear that when we talk about being a felon in possession of a firearm, we are assuming you are a felon. Now, you can get deferred adjudication probation, and that means that if you successfully complete your probation at the end of that time period, period, your case and charge will be dismissed. Okay, and so if that is the case, and if that happens, and you are on deferred adjudication, you are not a felon, and you're able to possess a firearm. However, it does not only apply to felons; it also would apply to people who commit family violence. That would be a misdemeanor. Okay, you're not going to fall in the felon statute. You're going to have your rights, but if you commit family violence, you cannot possess a firearm, or it's a Class A misdemeanor for the same 5-year time period. I did want to clear up. Under the federal law, yes, probably a black powder firearm is going to qualify as a relic, a antique, okay, and it's not going to fall in the normal definition of firearm. So to the questions of black powder, I hate to get on here and tell you that you can find a loophole in that fact and just go ahead and start hunting, do whatever you want to with a black powder weapon, but I think just looking at it, reading the law in itself, without doing a little more research, right, which I'll do and get back to you next week, I think that, yeah, maybe it's not a firearm for those purposes, and maybe you can possess a black powder firearm.
That's what I heard. If it's a certain date, year date of a copy, it could be a modern gun made to copy of an older gun.
It can be. It can be a modern manufactured gun as the replica of one from 1899, before 1899, and if so, right, it wasn't a center fire ammunition, or what do you call it, a rim fire?
Rim fire.
Okay, if it's not one of those two types of ammunition, if it fires black powder, it's done from the muzzle end, that seems like it qualifies.
Sounds good. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Ross, thanks again. See you next week. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do right now, I'm going to read to you an opinion piece. I normally do it in the beginning of the show, but we're doing a new format here and trying to keep things on hard breaks and keeping it squared away so all the commercials are in one block and out of the way from all these segments. So what I'm going to do now is read my opinion piece, and it's titled Losing, Holding On, or Advancing Constantly. Ladies and gentlemen, which one are you? Are you losing ground on life in general because of the hardness of life? Are you maintaining your ground because you're holding on tight from what the world is throwing at you? Or are you holding ground because you're comfortable where you're at and too worried about the risks of advancing? Or are you advancing? Are you taking life by the horns and moving on? Each one has its reasons and its pros and cons, but if you're losing ground, do it with finesse, because one day it will turn around. Those who have been watching you will be amazed at your tenacity to stay calm under fire or show you you're living your life in an orderly fashion. If you're advancing, you are overcoming or have overcome setbacks in your life. Very few advance without the diploma of hard knocks hanging on their walls. Be like you or not be like you. We are here on this earth for a purpose, and I believe it's to draw people to Christ. Each one of us has a God-given gift, and we need to God. Some of us have to lose ground, some of us down, and some of us have to advance. And whichever category you're in, you can learn something, share something, and be used by God for something. Never, never quit. Taking a break to regroup is not the same as quitting. We all need to regroup, recharge, remotivate. But when you quit, it's over, and life won. So if you're losing ground, show someone how to overcome. If you're maintaining, teach someone else how to maintain too. And if you're advancing, I applaud you. But don't forget to reach back with your hand and help lift up those who need wisdom, direction, encouragement, example, and vision. So in closing, whether we lose, maintain, or advance, depending on how we handle our situation, we can help everyone advance in one form, shape, or another. That's my opinion. And the number here is 254-697-6633. And let me tell you what's going on here with Aaron's. July 15th, we're going to be having a travel seminar with retired Green Beret Mark Boyer. If you go to my Facebook page at Aaron's Gut Facebook page, you'll see the post there. It's got a little bit more blurb on it as to what's going on, where it's going to be at, how much it's going to cost. If you're even thinking about going overseas in the times we live in now, it'd be excellent idea to make contact with Mark Boyer. Let him help you out, go over the details of your trip, and he gets it down to a Nat's Fanny, dots the I's, crosses the T's. July 22nd, I know it's a ways away, but it's the only time I had left on the calendar. It's going to be our next license to carry class, and those classes are $60 for new people, and if you wish to take a refresher course, it's $40. And I highly recommend, for those of you who have a concealed handgun license or a license to carry, and what's the difference? The letters, okay? They basically do the same thing. You got to know the laws for both. Concealed carry is the old version license. The LTC is just the updated version when you get your license. It'll say license to carry. So it's $60 for new, $40 for a refresher course, and I highly recommend you do it. If you come up with a group of five or more, I can try and squeeze you in somewhere else besides the set dates. Otherwise, plug in to July 22nd, which will be the next license to carry class. Now, also, we've got second Fridays of the month is our round robin competition. And we have an interesting prize this month, or actually the month of July, second Friday in July. And watch your dates, because yesterday was Friday. Don't get tricked in thinking next Friday, this upcoming Friday is the second Friday. It's 2 weeks from now. It's the second Friday of the month, and I've got a special safe. It's like a Bell telephone that's been gutted, but you can still make it work if you want to by putting in a circuit board. But what's nice about it, it's solid as a rock. It looks great, and it also comes with the pedestal that you see on the outside on the street where the payphone actually connects to. So you can either use the phone itself and attach it to the wall, and it's a great secured device, opens up with keys. You're not going to get in it. When you look at the inside of this thing and you see how well it's locked, you're not going to get in it. Or you can mount the stand for which the phone is attached to. You can bolt it right into the floor, lock in the phone to the stand, and then you've got a great conversation piece, all the while having a great safe to put your valuables, your coins, your guns, whatever it is that you want to put in there. But that's the prize. It's about a $500 value. And for the competition, it's a $20 entry fee, the round robin. If you haven't seen it, go to my YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, and take a look at some of the clips there of the round robin. And you can go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the homepage and click on the link at the top of the page. It'll give you all the rules and regs on how to do it. Lots of fun. And I've got an incredible amount of people who have been doing it, who the first time they've done it were kind of shaky, and after 3, 4, 5 times, they're ready to challenge some people. And you can have the same results too. You just come on in, bring whatever gun it is you're going to be shooting handgun wise, and learn. Your hunt is ladies' night. Ladies get to have the range time for free. So guys, bring your gals there. Let them teach you how to shoot so you guys can shoot better. Let the ladies teach you how to shoot. They're usually better shots anyway. That's because, guys, they listen. You don't. Okay, I've seen it way too many times. Which brings us up to another point, and that's our seminars. And in home invasion seminars for both co-eds and ladies only. And I'm going to tell you straight up right now, the ladies have a heck of a lot more fun in the ladies only class than they do in the co-ed class. They let their hair down. They don't have to worry about their guys being there and thinking they know it all, and they just have a great time. So, ladies, if you want to learn how to shoot, get yourself a group together, give me a call, and we'll set up a class specifically for you. You'll have a lot of fun doing it. Also, if you have time or have access, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Let's increase the numbers. You can contact me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. You can call us up at the shop at 254-697-4721. If you want to be part of the show today, you can call us at 254-697-6633. So we've got lots going on. I think I'm forgetting something here, and it's not clicking. But it doesn't matter anyway, because there's my warning marker that we're coming up to a commercial break. And on the other side of that break, we're going to have the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. So we'll see you on the other side, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you soon. Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everybody's having a great Saturday morning, the first day of July. Can you believe 6 months has already gone past? We've had half this year is gone. Only a few more months and we start ready for Christmas shopping. Today, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to talk about some things that have to do with firearms a little bit, but most of all, it's about how to be safe. You know, next week, our country celebrates 241 years of our existence as a nation. It's time to celebrate, to enjoy, to barbecue, to pop fireworks, and all the things that go along with summer and summer fun at the 4th of July weekend. But summer fun, many times, can fun ends up being a lifetime of pain and suffering. This area is no different than any other town in America, no other country in America, or county in America. We all like to have our fun and enjoy the spoils of life to the fullest, but many times those spoils end up costing us lives, property, and safety, folks. You know, this past week, many of the fireworks stands around Texas have opened. They're allowed to open 10 days before the holiday of July 4th and New Year's Eve. And people are out. I've been driven by a couple this morning. People were already out at them. I drove by some last night, and they were crowded. You know, fireworks are great. We're going to talk about that specifically here in a few moments. But you also have to understand there's a lot of things with fireworks that people don't consider. We're not the driest we've ever been, but it's been a while since we've had any significant rain. You know, if you keep up with the news, there's an entire national park in Arizona that's on fire right now. They attributed that to either fireworks or someone playing with matches, about the same thing. So as we talk about this week, please understand that I'm not anti-fireworks. I'm not anti-gun. I love a good fireworks display. I love fireworks. But there are also a lot of tragedies that have happened with that. Knowing how to use them, where to use them, and what not to use are all important parts of being responsible. It seems that a few individuals here in Central Texas believe that a firearm is just as good as fireworks when it comes to celebrating. Folks, that is so far from the truth. What goes up, people don't understand, must come down. It's the law of physics. And when they come down, they decelerate at the same speed they accelerate. If you don't believe me, just ask Sheldon Cooper for the Big Bang Theory. That physics mind can tell you that what goes up comes down just as quickly as it possible. And what I can understand is, you know, fireworks are relatively inexpensive. Bullets aren't. So it's cheaper to go buy some fireworks than bullets and shoot up in the air. You know, roofs have been damaged here in this town and area towns, but luckily no one has been hurt, no one's been injured in our area. But every year in some parts of America, there are people that are hurt, killed, shot, or wounded from people playing with firearms, especially as celebratory exercises. I know some countries think that's the way to do it, but that's not the way to do it here in the United States of America. Summer's the time for outdoor cookouts, pool parties, and backyard playdates. Not a time for bandaging scrapes, nurses, burns, or worse, gunshot wounds. Learn these important summer safety tips and make sure everyone in your family knows what to do, knows them by heart. That way, you know, the 4th of July will be one that you can remember for all the right reasons. You know, if you've kept up with the news the last couple of weeks, there was a real tragedy that happened at Lake Belton. You know, and it's caused a loss of life, a permanent changing of people, and that's things that are really senseless. And there's a lot of things that go into that that we don't know, I don't know. And, you know, the thing is, we have to be careful. We have to use our common sense. Pools and water safety is so important during these times in the summer months. It seems every year someone drowns in either a local lake, stock pond, the Brazos, or the Little River. You know, everyone loves to get out and have fun. But we need to learn how to supervise the younger people, especially when it comes to the water activities. Good supervision means you're able to scan the pool, lake, or river every few seconds, and you're always constant of where your loved one is. You know, put some safety barriers between you and your kids. Know that if the area is water you can't see, if it's a lake or if it's a pool, pools, you've got good clear water. If it's a lake or a river, you can't see underneath the surface, and you need to be extra cautious with that. You know, if you have a pool, a backyard pool, there's nothing worse than having a small child or a neighbor child get into that pool and have a tragedy occur. Be ever conscious. Be ever observant of what you have in your backyard and around your house. You know, always check the pool first if a child's missing in your neighborhood. Children's and adults, too, drowning is such a horrific thing. You know, and if someone yells for help, know how to help them. For instance, and I don't mind telling you, one of the things that I can't do is I can't swim. I have been terrified of water ever since I was 6 years old when I almost drowned. I had a house at one time that had a really nice pool, a really deep pool in it. Unfortunately, if someone got into the pool, one of my smaller children back then got into the pool, there's not a lot I could do to help them because there'd be two of us that'd be drowned then. But what I did do is I went out and invested in pool retrieval devices, a long pole with a hook on it, but sure that I kept kids watched. And that is the key. Be observant. Be just a second of lapse of time can be a tragedy. You know, everything boils down to the fact that we have to be attentive. We have to not leave children unattended. When taking your kids fishing, be ever conscious of the water depth, the visibility of the water, the Brazos, especially on 485. And I see where it looks fairly shallow. You can see the sandbars. But I also know that you can take one step there and you go down 20 feet in a hole. You know, wading the Brazos or the Little River, the one must be ever mindful of the drop-offs. And you also got to watch out for those little reptiles floating in the water. This past week, I had the opportunity to go to the falls in the Brazos. And for the first time, I saw the sign that said me, that one little sign. Our backyards are supposed to be a place of fun and partying, but we must be mindful of our backyard safety as well. I love to barbecue, and most people do this time of year. But keep your grills at least 10 feet from any structure. Grilling mishaps caused more than 8,300 fires and sent over 3,000 people to the emergency room every year. Never grill indoors or near garages or porches, even if it's raining. Have a bottle or extinguisher close by just in case something happens where you can protect yourself and keep the house from burning. I had a little funny incident that happened to me, I guess it was about 7 or 8 years ago. My youngest son, who is a grown adult, and I decided we were going to fry a turkey. During the process, it kind of started raining, so we moved the turkey into the garage, and I put newspapers down all around the floor so it wouldn't pop and wouldn't spire grease. Came back outside, and I had newspapers ablaze. I was not away more than 15 seconds when that happened. So you've got to watch. You've got to know what is you've got to know what their danger signs are. You know, for cracking, brittleness, holes and leaks in their regulator and in the lines itself. If the grill needs repair, don't try to take a chance and think you'll do it next time. Take the time to do it right away. Finally, and this is one that individuals will test their limits of common sense with common sense. There will be more officers out during the 4th of July weekend all across Texas. Summer is here, the temperatures are warm and muggy, and people are heading to the pools, beaches, and lakes for summer fun. That's cool. But many times people just reach in the back for a cold beverage during the hot summer, and that's great, except when you start reaching back too often, you start putting your hand down that Yeti cooler and pulling out a beer 30 minutes there before long. And here's something that I'm going to comment on in just a moment. You know, I've known some individuals, if they buy a 12-pack of beer, they're not going to stop till that 12-pack of beer is gone. I can't understand that philosophy, but some people do. Those same people, if you send them or buy them a 12-pack of Dr. Peppers, they're not going to sit there and drink 12 Dr. Peppers before they're all gone. So you see my connotation to that, folks. We've got to use common sense. We've got to think. Remember, whether you're boating, swimming, water skiing, or diving, fun in the water and alcohol just don't mix. That includes anything from beer to hard liquor. Alcohol impairs judgment, balance, vision, and coordination, and it's not a good combination with water sports. It's just not a good combination. With boating, when you add the additional wind, sun, noise, motion, and vibration, it can intensify the effects of alcohol very much so. You know, and you also have other things. You have people that are going to they're going to start joking around. They're going to start clowning around. When alcohol gets the best of them, you're on a boat. The water's deep usually when you're out boating, so be careful. You know, and after drinking, individuals usually cannot accurately judge what is safe and what isn't safe, even if it's a life-threatening situation. So when we're going to do something that's fun, let's have fun. But put the limitation of fun. Being out in the sun all day long causes dehydration, even when you have been in and out around water all day long. Alcohol, even though it's a beverage, alcohol and caffeine dehydrate the body. It's better to pack plenty of water, juices, etc. If you're going to go out in the boat, you're going to go out to the lake and go out to the river all day instead of sitting there and just drinking until you're sick. You know, and folks, I'm not anti-alcohol. Please don't think that. I know a lot of people enjoy alcohol. There's nothing wrong with alcohol. But I will tell you this. And I am as dead serious as I can be. Alcohol and guns don't match. Alcohol and fireworks don't match. A lot of accidents happened. A lot of things occur. Talking to a good friend of mine this morning about fireworks, and they were explaining to me that, you know, that where they used to live, there was a large fireworks display that they did every 4th of July. And unfortunately, it was a professional fireworks display. There was an accident that occurred, and the one of the persons that was putting the final touches onto it and was the detonator of the crew, he knew that something had gone wrong. He told people to run. Unfortunately, he didn't get away quick enough, and he was killed. Happens all around the country. We read about them every time in the year. You know, and it's really important, folks, that we understand that there are a lot of professional fireworks displays that go on. Temple's going to have one on the 3rd. I think the 4th as well. There are fireworks displays at Fort Hood. I'm not sure if Cameron's going to have one this year or not, but I know there are a lot of them all over the country. Waco's got one along the Brazos. Austin has one of the most fantastic fireworks displays you'd ever see on the 4th of July. So, folks, take the chance, take the time to do exactly the safest thing in the world to do, which is enjoy professional fireworks with no alcohol involved. So until next week, everyone, have a great week. Oh, one thing I'd like to mention real quickly. We had a call, and next week what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to put a program together. It's how to help people to feel safe when they can't see. An individual that was blind who called in was quite concerned about how he could protect himself. I'm going to kind of tailor a program next week for that. So until next week, everyone, have a great, great weekend. Be safe. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
For sales, service, maintenance, and supplies for motorcycles, ATV, Ford Trackers, and more, stop by Two Wheel Customs, located on Highway 53 in Zopchickville. Open Tuesday through Saturday, Two Wheel Customs offers the best in repairs and maintenance on any make, model, or size of motorcycle. If you're looking to buy or sell your unit, David Trojan and his crew can take all the hassle of paperwork and displaying your motorcycle. Customs always has vehicles on display. In addition, you can find a store full of varying apparel, everything from boots to helmets, along with a great inventory of accessories for your motorcycle. Give Two Wheel Customs a call at area code 254-760-2250. 476 Customs on Highway 53, Chickville.
Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Cabellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple, gun accessories, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast. Cap Nightcaps can do you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
Not only fast, but thoroughly. 7472mail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to the firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, Aaron's Gunshot, view the High Cap Adventures training. Call 254-697-47 to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. Aaron'sGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms,
254-1417. Welcome back, everybody, to the Anti-Gap Radio Program. Again, it's July 1st, 2017. 4th of July is Tuesday, everybody, and we had a nice talk from our retired police chief of police, Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement. I'm sure he gave you all sorts of great advice. I was listening in the wings. Sounds awesome. Now, we are doing our product spotlight segment sponsored by ANC Firearms. out in Heidenhammer. Arch Kuntz, the owner, good friend of mine, known him for years. Great guy. He's got an awesome store out there. Lots of guns, ammo, knives, accessories. They can do some repair work for you, do some special orders, the whole gamut. And this week, this product spotlight, we're going to be going over the Ruger Precision Rifle and excellent weapon. I'm sorry. Zoli for short. Zoltan Varga. There we go. Get it straight, Matt. Get it straight. Always having a good time here. And no, I'm just drinking water. See? Okay. No, stop. Okay, so Zoli for short, Precision, the Ruger Precision Rifle and 308 that you can get at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. And again, the number is 254-983-4417. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, the show stays on the air by sponsors. Those sponsors like ANC, the attorney segment, the bail bond, all the advertisers that you hear, they keep the show on the air. So the circle of life here is you hear it, you support them, they support me, you keep getting information, okay? And if you know anybody out there who feels that their business could benefit from the show, they need to give me a call. It'll help out everybody in the process. So, Zoli, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Good to have you back on.
Thank you.
And I know you're extremely excited about your rifle, right?
Oh, yeah. Good experience with it.
Yeah, I want you to tell about that, too. And you got yours from ANC Firearms, which is great.
Yes. And actually, in ANC Firearms, we get this rifle for $1,200. The MSRP of these rifles between $1,600. But I saw some in Academia and Gunner Mountain for like $1,500.
So that was a good price.
Yeah.
Awesome. How's his volume? Yeah, get closer to the mic. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We got about, I don't know, 7 minutes here. Go ahead and talk about what you got and why. Because some people had contacted me and said, why do you always talk about pistols? Because I'm an expert with a pistol. That's why I talk about pistols all the time. I'm not an expert with rifles other than some combat rifles. We're looking for a long-range precision rifle. So go ahead.
Yeah, so long-range precision shooting, it's very, especially here in Texas and the U.S., and this is a really good rifle for beginners who just want to start this sport and span it, because, as I mentioned, I was in next to Hondo for a precision rifle training. Was hosted by the San Antonio team, professional team, and you can spend, like, thousands of dollars on a rifle, and it's technically almost the same as this particular piece. It's a 308 caliber, what is very popular. You can get it almost everywhere. It's not the best caliber for this sport. Like, now it's really popular, the 6.5 Creedmoor, what is more, have higher muzzle velocity and more stable. But I read a bunch of forums and reviews on the internet, and they said, yeah, 6.5 Creedmoor is good, but the barrel's lifetime is about a half of 308.
Ah, okay, so you're going to get some, but have to give up some other.
Yeah.
To get the, okay, so for distance and better accuracy from what you're saying, you got to give up barrel life.
Yes.
Okay, so that's why you chose 308. Keep going.
So this rifle is a very precise made. It has an adjustable trigger block on it, which you can adjust from outside. You don't need to disassemble the whole rifle to adjust the pulling weight of the trigger between 2.25 and 5 pounds. That's the force what you need to pull the trigger. And it has a really good hybrid muzzle brake on it, what almost reduced totally the recoil. If you go on the internet, where I can show you here.
I'll tell you what, put it in the screen here, and we'll post it up later. Ladies and gentlemen, he's putting up the rifle to our screen, so in the near future, we'll have it posted on my YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop. Go ahead, Zoli.
Like, the buttstock has three major pieces, the cheek rest, the actual shoulder pad.
Buttstock part?
And it's all based on a simple AR-15
tube. Okay, so you can adjust it back and forth, and you can also adjust your butt pad, right?
You can adjust back and forth the cheek rest, high of the cheek rest, and adjust the shoulder butt.
Shoulder butt pad. Mm-hmm.
But also, if you don't like this kind of particular setup, you can go and go ahead and buy a Magpul or any kind of
because it fits on the basic AR tube, you can get anything you want. But
yes,
that particular one comes with the adjustable cheek piece and the adjustable butt pad.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And also, it has a K-mod rail system on the front. What is
there's a K-mod rail system right where you can attach all your
Everything you can attach on it.
Okay.
Also, two Picatinny rails with the rifle, but you can adjust anywhere you want.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest advantage of this K-mod rail, it's way lighter than a standard Picatinny system.
Yes, that's true, because the standard one almost looks like a cheese grater.
Yeah.
Got all that extra metal out of it. This one here, you can make it, it's almost completely round, almost, to a certain degree, and it's a lot slicker, and you can put where you want your Picatinny rails on it by attaching it to the keyhole positions.
You don't need to deal with like a 20 or 10, 16 inches Picatinny rails weight. You just get a 5 slots or 10 slots Picatinny rail and put it on the exact place where you want to put the bipod or light or anything you need.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this my particular rifle in this course I tried out to 1100 yards. That was the longest distance we shot. The bullet dropped a lot. It's almost like, if I remember correctly, 90 inches, what was the bullet drop from the point of origin. But it surprised me after I adjusted all the elevation and all the windage.
Mm-hmm.
In 1100 yards, I put 5 shots in about a 2-foot by 2-foot target.
Oh. I would need about a 10-foot by 10-foot, and then I'd be doing a prayer. a lot of luck on that one. That's pretty good. I'll tell you what, before, because we're running out of time, and this show is going to be recorded and played on our other station next week on 98.5 FM. That's KRXT in Rockdale, and a lot of people there may not know who you are. So tell everybody who you are, your experience being Special Forces and all that, and so this way they'll know from now on when you come on who you are.
Well, my name is Zoltan. I was born and raised in Hungary, and I spent 13 years in the Hungarian Defense Forces, 9 years from that in the Special Forces, and I moved here in Texas about a year ago.
He's the nicest guy you'll ever meet until you get him upset. Don't get him upset, he turns green. Okay, what else do you want to finish up on this one here?
Well, technically the whole rifle is precision-made, CNC machined. It has a really good medium contour barrel. But you can buy custom barrel for yourself on the internet for like ISO like $500.
So you can start with a basic platform, and
if you like this sport or you just like to shoot,
can that be converted to a different caliber?
Yeah,
okay.
And technically, don't need gunsmiths or anything. You can do in your shop.
Now the one we showed here on the video that people will see later on, you had painted a special pattern. What's your pattern on that? What'd you use? Because they normally come in black, don't they?
Yeah, I just don't really like black guns. They are kind of boring for me.
Well, I'll tell you, when you're in the bush, I can barely see that thing. So that's pretty good camo job there. And you got, what kind of scope you got on that?
I got a Milat RS1.
Look, that's our cue, Music Heartbreak. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Zoltan Varga talking about the Ruger Precision Rifle in 308 that you can get at...
Boring for me.
Well, I'll tell you, when you're in the bush, I can barely see that thing, so that's pretty good camo job there. And you got, what kind of scope you got on that?
I got a Milat RS1.
Look, that's our cue, Music Heartbreak. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Zoltan Varga talking about the Ruger Precision Rifle in 308 that... you can get at ANC Firearms. ANC is our sponsor. Give them a click 344-17. And we'll see you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190. And call them 283-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help you remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-
254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Vitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Today is July 1st, 2017. Chalk up another one for screwing up. Okay. 4th of July is Tuesday. We're back here live on the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. And I have a special guest with me. And some people may be asking, well, why do I have my son on the program on our gun show? And I can understand the questioning, but worry not, fret not. There's good reason why. And because it's all connected together. Everything's connected together. But first of all, let me introduce to you my son. Dylan, welcome to the show. Again, we've had you on before talking about shoot houses and how you were the acting crackhead.
Yeah,
and all
kind of stuff. So that's the target practice.
Target practice. And that was great. You can check that video out on my YouTube channel, Aaron's Gunshot. But today, I got you here today because you're going to France.
I am, yeah. Be studying abroad for 4 months.
That's right. Now, people say, well, big deal. Okay, everybody goes to France or whatever. A lot of people go to France. It's because last week, we had our dear friend, Mark Boer, retired Green Beret, on the show talking about traveling abroad. And what I found interesting was you're planning your trip to France, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, Mark, he's always in the wings, checking things out.
Imagine Liam Neeson from Taken, and you get Mark.
Exactly. But he's back there in the wings, you know, because he loves you to death, and he always protects you and takes care of you whenever he can. And all of a sudden, bam, he dumps in your lap this whole travel plan, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's why there's the connection. I want to get a human, a live person's reaction to this of Mark's planning for your trip. But first, let's tell everybody who you are, what you're doing, and give a quick little bio on yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Dylan Beatros. I am currently a junior at Southwestern University in Georgetown. I'm a foreign language major with a political science minor. So basically all like international relations studies, like all
what
that kind
did
of...
did you just say? You just went over my head. You're a digital watch and I'm a tennis. I'm one of those... Man.
I'm going,
and he's just like computer whizzing it here.
Right. I'm a foreign language major, so French, Spanish, and German.
You went from a dollar word to a 75-cent word. I need like 25-cent words, dude.
Okay. So I study foreign languages at Southwestern University. Yeah. It's great.
All right. Go ahead.
And then I also study political science, which is just basically like studying like the structure of politics and government and stuff like that. And so my main focus with that is international politics, international relations, and stuff like that. And so for my studies, I have to study abroad, or not really have to, but like all of this information that I can learn in a classroom.
To be the master at your game,
yes,
you need to do this.
Absolutely.
Right?
Okay. And so seeing as my main focus language is French, I'll be studying abroad in France, in Caen, which is in Normandy. And
oui, oui, oui.
And so I was talking to Mark. Well, Mark asked about what are your plans and all this stuff. So I was getting together, like I was going through like the list of everything that I have to do, because my study abroad program says do X, Y, Z, get your visa, make sure your passport works, get all like all these paperwork and whatnot, because the government hates me. And then Mark said, I'm going to come over and we're going to talk about a few things that you need to prepare yourself with that your professors and...
No, wait. We got to set this up better. Before he said that, okay, he heard, he was over at the house and he's sitting in his normal chair.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And you're sitting across from him and he's listening to you talk. And all of a sudden, this is Mark's body language. All of a sudden, when he likes what he's hearing, he sits up, puts his ass to the rear of the chair, leans over the table, has his arms. He's looking at you with a hunchback towards you. And all of a sudden, his right hand fingertips start tapping. He goes, So he's taking it all in. And so you're just telling him basically what's going on, and he leaves.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, bam, tell everybody what happened.
He comes back the next week with a giant backpack just full of stuff. Literally, like, sets it down on the table, boosh! And like, and then he starts pulling out all of this stuff. And so he basically gave me a rundown of all of this stuff that, like, I, even after, like, studying, like, what to do when you're in a foreign country, like, foreign culture, like, all this stuff, he was pulling out all of these items that, and, like, all of this information that's like, hey, no one's going to teach you this, but you need to know it if you don't want to die. Because, like, everyone knows that, like, right now it's a very, like, testy time to, like, travel abroad and whatnot. And, it like, while, like, there's plenty of safe places in the world, like, you can never be too secure in where you're going, and you can never be too safe.
There's no guarantees in the sense of safety. Something can always happen.
Exactly.
So you have to be prepared for
exactly.
it. Exactly. But he not only brought equipment over, and ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this, this is going to be recorded, like I said, going to be playing off the Rockdale station next week, and you heard the premiere show with Mark on there, and everybody here on this station knows Mark from a couple times in the area. People know him and his abilities. He's very capable. He's a retired Green Beret, 30 years, 35 years, been around the world, done all sorts of stuff, and he's just got a plethora of information, and it just connects really well with you. So not only did he bring a backpack of stuff, and not necessarily that you would use every single item. He's just saying these are all the different things depending on what you're doing. Then he sent you an email.
Oh yeah,
talk about that email.
He sent me an email of how to utilize all of like the paperwork, because he brought documents with him, such as international vaccination paperwork, information on getting an international driver's license, stuff like that. And so he sent me an email later about all of the things like you need to do when like getting all this stuff ready and approved, like going to your doctor, like making sure that they sign off on all this paperwork, going to like a AAA office and getting them to just like give you your stamp so you can have this another form of identification while you're abroad, because when you're abroad, identification is key. People need to know who you are in case anything happens. If people don't know who you are, you're just a nameless face and they don't know what to do with you. And so
that's a scary thing.
It's horrifying.
He was, when he sent you that email, he was giving you descriptions using Google.
Yeah. He did a full, complete, so there's several cities that I have to travel through to get to the city where I'll be studying at. And so Mark went ahead and found out all of the hotels that I'm staying at, and he Google Earthed everything. And he's like, 30 meters to the left, there's an ATM, and across the street, and then 30 meters to the right, there's going to be a post office, and so you have all of your basic essentials. So it's also really important to figure out where you'll be and like what you can utilize while you're abroad, what's in your general vicinity so that you can have everything that you need to like stay afloat, to be connected, to not fall behind and get lost in like the scary flow of a foreign country. Mm-hmm. Because it is like another world. When you travel to another country, not only you may not speak the language, but people have a completely different culture that doesn't match up with yours. So you'll get different cues from people. You won't understand even their body language.
Right.
It doesn't add up. And so you have, aside from the bare minimum, which is knowing where you're going, understanding at least like how to get basic directional information, and as well as understanding the culture of the people that are there, because those are the people that are hosting you. Those are the people that you're in their country. That's their world.
Now, wouldn't it be nice if you could just have a mental image of where you actually are, as though you've walked the streets, mm-hmm. and you can see how people dress and what's going on down there? We were at his house. Mm-hmm. We were enjoying dinner at the house there, and he took you over to the computer and showed you all the different places, the actual doorways, the stores. And I don't know if anybody's ever been to Barstow, California. I think there's a Winchell's Donut still in the corner. There's a guy there that would always stand there on the corner. I mean, day after day after day. This was back in the 80s. And you'd ask people, you know, late in the 80s, early 90s, hey, is that guy Winchell still there? And some people say, yeah, I know who you're talking about. We saw one of the pictures. Mm-hmm. There was a guy leaning up against the wall there. I said, watch that guy. So he's by the ATM machine just sitting there.
It's one of the things that Mark was telling you about. So when you go to an ATM, have someone with you watching your back so you can watch theirs when you're getting your stuff. Because literally in this Google Earth image, there's an ATM and literally 5 meters to like the left of it, there is a guy literally just sitting next to the wall watching the ATM.
Waiting.
It's like when you go to like international cities, like for example, like Paris or Berlin or stuff like that, like those are international tourist destinations. So a lot of people know like there's going to be a bunch of suckers that will be right for like the picking.
Another thing I want to bring up is that a lot of people travel and they say, well, I've never had a problem. And I want to say it's because you haven't been a mark yet.
Yeah.
If you've never been a mark, and what I mean is that the bad guy picked you out, okay, and you've been having a great time, you've been blessed, okay, very nice. But what if you happen to be the mark this time and somebody does do something to disrupt your trip? Do you have a fallback plan? Do you know what to do in certain situations? And that's what Mark was getting you ready for. Mm-hmm. And once again, the reason we're talking about this is because on July 15th, which would be a Saturday, Mark's having a seminar, a travel seminar. And if you go to my Facebook page, Aaron's Gun Shop Facebook page, and scroll down there, you'll see the blurb on it as to what's it entail, how much it costs to do it. So if you're planning on taking a trip, even if you're a seasoned traveler, a novice, a seasoned whatever, you still have that potential of becoming the mark. And Mark is excellent in giving you extreme detail, and he'll work out your plan, your trip, and everything from A to Z, and give you some highlights that you may not have even thought about. And I know you had some apprehensions of going over there. How do you feel now after all this that he's given you?
I feel much more awake, if that's to say, because like when I was preparing with all of like the visa documents and getting everything ready that like my study abroad coordinator told me, like, this is what you'll need, all this stuff, I kept thinking like, something's missing here. Like, this, I feel like this is too easy. Like, there's too, like, I feel like I'm not prepared enough. And then Mark came up with the giant backpack just full of, like, everything you need. It was like a leprechaun's at the end of the rainbow.
I use this analogy a lot. If you look at a sidewalk, mm-hmm. sidewalk has large slabs of concrete, and then you've got the little crack dividers. Mm-hmm. The slabs of concrete are what the travel agent tells you. You're going to have a great time. They show you the pictures of the brochures of a beautiful beach with the two people walking it, but in reality, there's hundreds of people with umbrellas. They took that picture at dawn or dusk when nobody was there, and it's a false reality. So him giving you this information kind of makes you just up to speed, up to date, and feel more comfortable. You get the information in the cracks as compared to the stuff they give you on the slabs, the general slabs.
Absolutely. Real talk, not the pretty picture of what everyone says, that like, oh, the world's a perfect, happy place, nothing bad happens. Like, you need to know. You need to be aware of the reality.
And you're going alone.
Yes, I will be going alone.
Okay, so for a first time overseas, you know, you're a big guy, you can handle yourself, no problem. Speaking of which, you know, you're going to school, you're taking a lot of things, you're working a lot of jobs, you mm-hmm. know, you decided to go to college instead of doing like an online program that's probably a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Going to college is very expensive.
Yeah.
When I went to college, I paid my own way, and when we raised you up, it's basically, we're going to give you what you need. We'll give you some things you want at Christmas and all that kind of stuff, but in general, you want a car, okay, you got to go get it. You want to go to college, okay, you're going to have to figure out a way to do it.
Yeah.
And you're hustling. Tell everybody what you're doing.
So during the school year, I work about 4 jobs at the same time, and then during the summer right now, I've got 2 full-time jobs, well, part-time, but they equals to full-time, and so I'm basically saving up so that I can go abroad, and so that I can afford to do what I want to do, which is learn languages and be able to speak to people and communicate and be a bridge between countries. And so that's been a motivation for me in terms of going to Southwestern University, which is really expensive, and learning the things that I need to know so that I can do what I need to do. And so that means busting my butt all the time. Like, I have a job at an elementary school where I teach. I work for a martial arts school at a front desk. I am a technician at a theater. I do all sorts of just like crazy unrelated jobs.
And with all this, what's your grade average?
I've been a dean's list student every single semester, and I have a 3.8 GPA.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not only do you have a brain that can retain all this stuff, it's incredible how you can remember everything. What's that? Yeah, or whatever, dude. Okay. It's true, probably. So here you got all these jobs. You're working at a great grade point average, dean's list, the whole works, and you're creatively funding yourself. I think you told me you got a GoFundMe page. Why don't you tell everybody, in case somebody's interested, they want to help you out, we'll promote you here. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there's this really awesome site and program called GoFundMe, which is basically, it's a site that helps support people for various different reasons, whether it's educational, medical, and other things like that. I have a page called, that's GoFundMe.com/MySteadyAbroadJourney, and it's basically like, if you would like to help me like pay my way to get to where I need to be so that I can do what I think is a really good thing for the world, seeing as foreign languages in high demand and people need to be able to speak to each other.
Well, there's some people out there who like that and are interested in doing that kind of help. So just tell one more time how they get. You can go to my Facebook page, Aaron's Gun Shop Facebook page, and check out the link to his Fund Me page, or Instagram, it's there too. Just go to aaronsgunshop.com and you can check it out there. But you know, if you're interested, if you're that type of person who likes to help people do that, great. He's a hard worker, a good student, and all that. So it'd be money well invested. All right, Dylan, we got just about another minute and a half or so. Let's see, what other things you got lined up here? Anything special? You just got your visa, right?
I did. I got my visa in the mail this morning, which is great, which is awesome.
That was a long process in itself.
See, okay. If you do, see, the consulate, no matter where you're studying abroad, no matter where you're going, if the consulate, you can make this so much easier on yourself if you literally just print off the piece of paper that tells you everything that you need. Every consulate, no matter where you're going, will tell you exactly what documents you need. Get all of those documents, make 3 or 4 photocopies, and then you go to the consulate, you'll have no problem whatsoever, and you're set to go. And you get your visa in, like, I got mine in 2 weeks.
Wow, that's pretty good. Okay, real quick, I don't know if you told us or not, I was too busy interrupting you, but anyway, have any idea who you're staying with, or has that not figured out yet?
Not yet, no. I'll find that out like 3 weeks before I leave. I will be with a host family, though, so I'll be with like a deeply ingrained in the culture and the language, which, if anyone's going to be studying abroad, do it with a host family. They really teach you the culture and like the interest in. Now, thank you.
You can speak every other language in English, right?
That word, they can teach you all of that in the language, because language is extremely nuanced. There's all sorts of like culture that goes into it, and all sorts of different like idioms and expressions that you can't learn from a textbook, and so you learn that from the people that you talk to.
And what actual languages are you studying besides French?
German and Spanish.
German and Spanish. And you touched on a couple others too, right?
Yeah.
Not in depth. I know you were working a little bit on Russian.
Yeah, a little bit.
Then you even mentioned Chinese. I said, crazy? How do you say you're crazy in Chinese?
I know how to say hi, how are you, and goodbye.
In Chinese, right? Okay. All right, how close are we to a break, Trey? Bad time? Okay. I'll tell you what. In French.
Okay.
Why don't you tell everybody, it's nice to be here, thank you very much, see you later or whatever.
Merci beaucoup tout le monde, je suis très ravi d'être ici aujourd'hui, à bientôt.
Wow, that was so fluid off the tongue, the women are going to love you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and on the other side, we'll be doing some patchwork of collecting a lot of information, just giving it to you as much as we can. So we'll see you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or 983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Everybody, the Aaron's High Cabin Adventure Radio Program. Again, July 1st, 2017. We got about, 7 minutes left to go in the show. And, excuse me. I wanted to read some things here. I collect weird articles or WTF moments. What the F is going on here? But this one was pretty cool. This is a good WTF. And you've probably already heard about it. A Canadian sniper took a long shot. And I'm reading this off of an email. So let's see here. If a second shot is required. Oh, here's the question. Can you tell me how long it would take the sound of a shot to travel 2 miles? I am basically wondering how many shots the sniper could squeeze off before the victim knew he was being shot at. If we assume the first round was high or low or too far left or right. And the response was, if a second shot is required, then he's not a very good sniper. Humidity. This guy knows his stuff. At the given range of 3,450 meters, and based on the reported 10 seconds to reach the target, the bullet's velocity was 1,132 feet per second, arriving just barely ahead of the sound wave by 6/100ths of a second. So that, I guess that answered his question, right? That's pretty interesting. So this Canadian sniper took about a 2-mile shot and made his hit. That's incredible. All right, that's number one.
You call that guy?
What?
Whatever he told you.
That's right, man. There's no running away. He just can get you. That's like Quigley down under. The guy's on the horse running and running and running. He just takes him out. All right, this one here, I made a note as why you don't carry in a purse. This one, man reportedly loses robbery purse tug of war with woman. Morgan's Point Resort. A man who tried to steal a woman's purse in broad daylight Friday morning probably didn't expect her to fight back. The woman won the unexpected tug of war, although she had minor injuries afterward, and the man ran away. A 29-year-old woman walked up to her home's front door at a residence in Armadillo Circle and said a man came up behind her and grabbed her purse. Morgan's Point Resort police chief said. The woman said she wrestled with the man for her purse and kicked him several times, which was in runaway. The woman had minor... He actually got the purse, and your gun was in the purse. Well, now you lost your identification, you lost your gun, you lost your means of defending yourself, so on and so forth. So ladies and guys, if you're going to carry your... don't carry your weapon in your purse. It's not a good idea. I know some people have had their purses stolen with their guns in it. Okay, here's another one. Customer wanted her pizza and her money too. This is like having your cake and eat it too. You just can't have it, okay? A woman who didn't like the looks of a pizza she ordered June 22nd got her money back and then took the pizza anyway. When the clerk tried to stop her from leaving the Little Caesars, the woman pushed him and threw the pizza and left. Unfortunately, the store's camera system wasn't working. A clerk said a woman called in a pizza about 9:46 p.m., came in to pick it up. She paid for it, opened the box, and said the pizza wasn't what she wanted. The clerk said he gave the woman's money back, but the woman grabbed the pizza box and started toward the door to leave. The clerk tried to stop her from leaving, but she pushed her body against him. The clerk kept trying to get the pizza, but the woman reportedly threw it and spilled the pizza on the floor on the wall. Whatever. Over a pizza, man. It's crazy. How about this one? How about a grenade? Yeah. Child finds a grenade at a park. A 9-year-old boy trying to cool off Saturday evening in the waters of Lake Belton at McGregor Park stepped on a grenade with the pin still in it. Woo! The boy picked it up and threw it on the bank, much to the surprise of his father, who looked at it and said, "That looked real." The father called for help. Yeah, right? The father called for help, and the Bell County Sheriff's Department arrived and closed the park as a safety precaution. The Fort Hood Explosive Ordnance Disposal Unit was called to handle the grenade and detonated it at Fort Hood. Finding ammunition or ordnances in Central Texas area is fairly normal because of the proximity of Fort Hood. Fort Hood spokesman Tyler Brower said Monday that Fort Hood had no idea how the grenade ended up in the lake. So basically, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to the lake, not only look out for pickpockets, but look out for grenades. Now here's, I got two more here. One's, I'll just read them. This one went piecemeal. Man destroys new Ten Commandments statue at state capitol. A man yelled freedom as he crashed his vehicle into Arkansas's new Ten Commandments monument early Wednesday, nearly 3 years after he was arrested in destruction of Oklahoma's monument at its state capitol, authorities said. The privately funded Arkansas's monument had been in place outside the state capitol in Little Rock for less than 24 hours before it was knocked from its plinth, is that what you call it, and smashed to pieces. Michael Tate Reed, 32, of Van Buren, Arkansas, was booked in... Blah, 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 blah. Authorities do not know whether he or an attorney... Whatever. So here you are... driving your car to destroy the Ten Commandments. Don't you know you got repercussions when you do that?
Didn't he just get out of jail for doing the same thing?
Doing the same thing as
somebody else. So he yells freedom and does it again? I mean, does he have something against freedom?
I think in the rest of the story it says he's a little whacked out anyway. Okay, we'll finish up the show with this crazy one. Police. California mom attacked child in attempted exorcism. California for you. Northern California woman was in custody Sunday on suspicion of beating, biting, and choking her 11-year-old daughter in an attempt to perform an exorcism on the child, authorities said. Kimberly Felder, 45, stripped her daughter naked and shoved sand into her mouth and into her eyes before a beach in Ferndale, a north coast town about 150 miles north of San Francisco on Friday. She was trying to remove D with a piece of driftwood. Rainer fed her to the ground. Scene managed to separate the lady from her daughter and place her in handcuffs. She questioned me about my faith, Marcel told the Associated Press. Felder was arrested for investigation of attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, and child abuse and aggressive mayhem. The girl was taken to the hospital. Okay, world out there, ladies and gentlemen. That's why, you know, they're just not crazy here. They're crazy abroad. So if you're going to go abroad for investigation of attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, and child abuse and aggressive mayhem, the girl was taken to the hospital. Okay, world out there, ladies and gentlemen. That's why, you know, they're just not crazy here. They're crazy abroad. So if you're going to go abroad, make sure you sign up for the seminar on July 15th, and you can give us a call at 254-697-4721. Go to my email, aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and you can check out the information on our Facebook page. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, keep your powder dry, and God bless.
At one point, we believe that they did have off-duty police working at the location.
The location, the Power Ultra Lounge, downtown Little Rock. He says some sort of dispute breaking out between people inside the club, multiple shootings. KHTV TV reporter Winnie Wright.
We've got a lot of people around here saying it's a miracle that someone wasn't killed, because we got a hold of a Facebook video and people are passing.